Well, hello there, and welcome back. My name is Stephanie Safarian, and you're listening to episode 508 of Sustainable Minimalists. This is a listener-supported show about intentional and eco-friendly minimalist living. And on today's show, we're taking a closer look at our favorite wardrobe staple, and that, of course, is our jeans. Now, jeans were originally adopted as the preferred trouser of choice for cowboys and miners and farmers in the United States because, I'm sure you can guess, the fabric was once very durable. It was also once very cheap. Jeans were most often worn in the American West, and it wasn't until Levi Strauss came on the jeans scene in a big way in the 1930s and introduced jeans to the American East during the Dude Ranch craze. These days, let's fast forward 100 years. These days, jeans are not meant necessarily for hard labor. They are a fashion staple. They aren't necessarily all that durable anymore, depending on the brand you buy. And they aren't even necessarily cotton anymore, again, depending on the brand you buy. The fit, the style, the cut. All of these variables change with the turning of that ubiquitous trend cycle, which keeps us all consuming, right? By declaring wide leg jeans as in and bootleg jeans maybe on the way out and skinny jeans definitely out until, of course, that trend cycle repeats and cycles. By their definition, they always repeat. So today we're taking a closer look at jeans. My guest today is Serene Al-Sharif. Serene is CEO of Tadmore Tailoring. She is a passionate sustainability advocate, and she argues that the pollution from the clothing production industry is a public health crisis that nobody's talking about. She also believes that we, so you and me, we can do an awful lot to combat that fashion pollution crisis, which, by the way, is the second largest polluter in the world, by just buying one fewer pair of jeans each year. And if you're thinking to yourself, nah, that doesn't make sense, well, buckle up because Serene has the numbers to prove it. Now, quick note, Thursday's episode of this week, so we have a second episode coming out this week. It's just for subscribers. It is one of those solo investigative pieces that you all love about the ways in which our phones, in which media, in which social media keeps us in our own respective echo chambers, keeps us from expanding our knowledge base, keeps us from actually challenging our long-held viewpoints. How ironic is it that these phones, this internet, they're meant to connect us emotionally to others and inform us educationally? The World Wide Web was designed to connect us. And yet, the World Wide Web, in practice, is actually doing the complete opposite. So if that sounds like something you want to listen to and you're not yet a subscriber of the show, you can subscribe on Substack. And guess what? If you listen on Spotify, fun new fact, you can subscribe on Substack, get the RSS feed, and just copy and paste it into Spotify, and you can listen ad-free and extended and these subscriber-only episodes forever. The feed will just be now on your Spotify. If you want to just listen to this episode and then cancel on Substack, you can, because you can cancel at any time. You could theoretically listen and then cancel. It wouldn't be nice of you, but you theoretically could do it. If you're an Apple Podcast listener, you can subscribe on Apple and also cancel at any time. Anytime it doesn't work for you, you can cancel. That episode and all episodes will go straight there for you. Now, stay tuned for the outro of today's show because we do have some fashion-oriented eco tips, and we also have updates on the next book club, which is coming up in February. Serene, so thrilled to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm so excited to talk about clothing because that's an area in which, as somebody who is a self-described non-fashionable person, I continue to struggle. I continue to struggle because, as somebody who does not understand fashion, I try to keep up with the trends, keep up with the herd by buying like what's new and what's fashionable. But of course, that comes with sustainability concerns. So before we talk about jeans and before we talk about sustainability in our closets, let's talk about you. Who are you? What do you do? Give us all the important details.
Okay. Yeah. My name is Serena Al-Sharif. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Tadmore Tailoring. Tadmore Tailoring is a direct response to the fast fashion industry. I'm originally a dietitian with my master's in public health, and I stumbled upon the whole fast fashion issue when I was doing research for one of my presentations. I put fast food in Google and fast fashion popped up, and I thought it was a joke. And I started reading about it, and I was appalled that this was actually a thing. The fast fashion industry, in my opinion, is one of the biggest public health crises out there right now, but nobody's talking about it. And the solution is simple. Just wear your clothes more. We made Tadmore online, so like people can get online on our website and order their alterations from anywhere. So there's no reason for a person not to get their pants hemmed or their button sewn back on. They can easily access a quality tailor, which turns out to be the main reason most people throw away their clothes.
I love it. And I want to talk to you more about tailoring later because I have a lot of questions. But it seems to me, so I was born in the 80s and I was at the tail end of people still doing their own alterations, at the tail end of my mother still making my and my sister's clothes. I'm sure there are still people who alter their own clothes and make their own clothes, but that as a lifestyle choice has definitely seen its way out, I would say, over the past four decades as fast fashion has moved its way in. I mean, why are we going to tailor? Why are we going to spend $40-$50 to tailor a shirt that costs $3? So I want to talk about tailoring more later, but first I want to talk to you about jeans. I stumbled across a TEDx talk of yours all about the environmental impact of jeans and what we can do better when it comes to buying not just jeans, but all clothes. So talk to me about jeans because they are the quintessential American wardrobe staple. What does the average listener not know about their favorite pair?
Jeans are predominantly made of cotton. And cotton is one of the dirtiest and thirstiest crops on earth. They grow the cotton and then that cotton is picked and then it's taken and then they blend that cotton from numerous fields because you don't want to have cotton from one field and then cotton from another field because the cotton is different and the fabric will react different. So unable to stabilize how the cotton is going to react to the production process. They mix cotton from numerous fields together, and then they take that cotton and then they spin them into yarns. So that yarn is like pieces of string or yarn, and then that yarn is dyed. It's actually dyed different colors, and that's what makes the different colors of the jeans. Then that dyed yarn is taken and woven into denim. Now, old jeans and good quality jeans nowadays, you'll actually notice that the outside of the jeans is the darker bluish color usually, the indigo, and then the inside is a lighter white. And that's actually because they use two different colors of thread or yarn to make it. So they dye some of them the blue, and then they bleach other ones, and the chemicals that they use either during the bleaching process or the dyeing process are awful. And they pour those into our clean waters. And it's really devastating what happens in the land around where all of that waste goes. They take the yarns, they make the denim, the fabric. Then that fabric is shipped to wherever it is rolled out and cut and sewn into the jeans. Then it's shipped again over to where they do what's called the stonewashing. So you know on the jeans, they'll have that really cool edge, the detail where it looks worn and it's a little bit lighter. That's literally they put the jeans after they're sewn into these huge, they almost look like washing machines full of stones. And then they pour loads of water and then just run them in these washing machines and start to break down the jeans. And then the last step is they take those genes and they do what is called the finishing process. And that is extremely energy consuming process. They did an estimate and they found that the amount of energy used in the finishing process alone is equivalent to the energy that the entire state of Rhode Island uses in a year. And that's the step, just the end step, where they put like the holes in the genes, or when you see like part where it looks like it's worn. Jeans, for a while, it was really stylish to have the thighs faded and in the hip area, like those lines. That's just the final step there, is called the finishing process. And then they're shipped to wherever they go. But from that whole process, those seven steps, every time it's done in a different facility. And in most times, it's actually in entirely different countries. So they've done the research and they found that a pair of jeans travels about 1.2 times around the earth before it even makes it to us. Every step, there's just the energy consumption, the CO2, the chemicals, everything. It's quite devastating, the whole process.
I just learned a lot there, Serene. So thank you. First of all, I didn't know that stonewashed jeans are actually literally washed with stone. That's interesting. How crazy, how ridiculous is it at the end of the day that jeans, they were work pants. they were originally work pants in the late 1800s. Cowboys wore them. People who were outside working in the fields with animals, jeans were durable enough to withstand the long hours outside. Well, here we are, fast forward 2025. We don't want a pristine pair of pants. So we have a finishing process to make these brand new pants look worn. That's so ridiculous to me. Am I crazy, or does that also sound ridiculous to you?
It does. It sounds ridiculous to me. And the sad part is, they used to wear the jeans because they were so durable and they'd wear them for such a long time. Nowadays, we barely wear our jeans or our clothes seven times before they're thrown away. And we're buying these high quality, durable garments just to wear them a few times. That's what I really find disheartening.
Yes. Okay. We're going to get back to that point as well. But you did not mention something there that I was actually surprised to not hear. I'm thinking about the jeans in my closet. They're a little bit stretchy, which tells me that there's some synthetic fibers in there. There's some plastic in there. I'm guessing that because this wardrobe staple is no longer used outdoors with animals, riding horses in the fields, they're a fashion item. And women, especially, we want a little stretch. We want a little curvature. And so now we're taking cotton, which you mentioned is one of the dirtiest and thirstiest crops on the planet. We're taking cotton, but then we're mixing it with a plastic synthetic. Any consequences there that the average jean wearer should know about?
Yes. When you have 100% natural fibers and then you decide to discard it, that will break down over time and be absorbed into the earth. So you could theoretically take a 100% cotton pair of jeans and put it in your compost and it'll break down over a couple of years. But in adding that stretchy Allegra into the jeans, now there's plastic. Now that is not going to break down. Scientists theorize that it will break down in 200 years, but we haven't had plastic for 200 years. So we don't really know how long it's going to take. It could never break down. So now those jeans, they're even worse for the environment. The other thing is, I don't know about you, but when I have any type of pants that has the Lycra in it, over time, after washing and wearing for years, it starts to break up and then you can see like pieces of it sticking out. So it makes the clothes, they don't live as long because it's the plastic in it just wears out quickly and breaks and it sticks out and it looks ugly.
Yes. And then on top of that, I'll say, as somebody who, again, not a fashionable human being by any stretch of the imagination, but also I'm a comfort shopper. And so when I have to wear jeans, I prefer a little bit of stretch because they're a little bit more comfortable. They grow with me, let's say. But then they stretch out. And so like the period of time in which I can wear them and I feel like they look good and I feel like I'm killing it, is small because plastic generally is not a durable material. So the stretch stretches out. Do I have that right?
That does. And that goes back to the how it's being washed. That if they're not washed correctly, then it will make them wear out even quicker. So I agree with you with the stretchy jeans are so much more comfortable. But if you wash them properly, they will last for a longer period of time. And one of the fastest ways to wear out your jeans, no matter whether they're 100% cotton or if they have the Lycra in them, is putting them in the dryer. That is something that I try to stay away from as much as possible with my jeans. Do not put them in the dryer. You can just lay them out anywhere and just let them air dry. And that will help preserve the jeans for a longer period of time. Air drying them, also washing them less. The more we wash our jeans or any clothing that we have, like the whole washing process is very stressful for our clothes, whether it's the soap, whether it's the drying, the dryer itself, when we put them in the dryer, all that puts stress on their clothes and it starts to break down those fibers. So the longer we can wear our clothes without washing them, the better. And then try to skip the dryer as much as possible because that just is awful for our clothes.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Levi Strauss, that major jean manufacturer, suggests that we wash our jeans after every 10 wears. 10 wears. That's a lot. 10 wears. But okay, so I'm going to work on that. I don't wash them every time, but every 2 to 3 times. Every 10 wears. I feel like people don't want to be unhygienic, so we're washing them more often. But every 10 wears, listeners, let's think about that. Okay, but I want to go back to the composition of the pants because while on the one hand, cotton is a dirty and thirsty crop, it is at least a natural fiber as opposed to the synthetic. It's just plastic. It's fossil fuels woven into synthetic fibers. And then let me also add to that, when we take a natural fiber and we mix it with a synthetic, that really, you mentioned it, ruins the compostability of the piece, but it also ruins the textile recycling ability of the piece because now it has multiple different types of fibers in it. So what's the solution here? Is the solution not buying cotton because it's dirty and thirsty? Is it not buying synthetic because it's plastic? Is it not buying at all? I don't know. It just seems like everywhere I look, there's a sustainability conundrum.
With every purchase we make, there is some type of a sustainability conundrum. Like there is no perfect garment. I want to say the closest to the perfect garment is to buy secondhand. There is research that shows that there is enough clothes on the earth right now to clothe the next 6 generations. So instead of going and buying new, I'm an advocate for going and thrifting or hand-me-downs. There are some fashion brands now that use secondhand fabric. You can find stuff that's made from dead stock. There are other solutions. So like bamboo is a healthier option for the earth. It's a natural fiber and it grows very quickly, doesn't need as much water. Now, from my point of view, I try to, number one, thrift. And when I thrift, I try to make sure that what I buy is natural fibers. Because one of the things that we didn't talk about is the microfibers that get released into our waters. So when we do buy the synthetic plastics and we're washing that micro fleece jacket or we're washing, I don't know, the polyester pants, microscopic pieces of the plastic break off in the wash and get into our water. They're actually finding microfibers in plants, in fetuses, everywhere. So my personal journey is to try to switch whenever I'm buying something. If I'm buying something that I need, I want to try to make sure that it's a natural fiber. I try to buy it, thrift it first. And if I can't, and if I absolutely need it, then I'll try to buy it new if I have to. And I try to target that 90% of what I buy is natural fibers.
I'm glad you brought up thrifting there because on my Instagram recently, somebody commented on a pro thrifting reel that I posted and said that she's willing to thrift home goods. She's willing to thrift, decor, let's say, but she's not willing to thrift clothing because she just can't get around the fact that somebody else wore the item in question. What would you say to people like this commenter who can't get over the perceived like dirtiness factor of thrifted clothes?
One of the things to keep in mind is that our skin is the biggest organ in our body. And whatever we put on our skin is absorbed. So you know how when you put lotion on your skin, our skin absorbs it. When we take a shower, our skin absorbs some of that water. Same when we put on clothes, our skin is going to absorb some of the chemicals that are on those clothing. So when we're buying new clothes and they've just been dyed, sprayed with, they spray clothes with pesticides, by the way, to keep bugs from getting on them during transportation. So I would really prefer to buy secondhand where hopefully the person who had it before me washed it multiple times. So those dyes and chemicals are not on them anymore compared to buying new and putting something that's full of chemicals on my skin and then have my skin absorb it.
Yeah, clothing's one of the easiest things to wash. If you're concerned about somebody else's whatever skin, throw it in the washing machine. I love that answer. And thank you for putting it so plainly. But we need to talk about the trend cycle, because if I'm on board with buying less, buying fewer, wearing my stuff longer, I am thwarted at every turn by the incessant trend cycle. Skinny jeans are in, until they're out, and until flares are in, or boot cut, or whatever we're calling them these days. And then they're out, and then it's wide leg. Like, I can't even keep up. And I know you have a tailoring business, but I don't know much about tailoring, but we can't make our skinny jeans wide leg jeans. I mean, what do you say to those of us who care about fashion, want to look like we're in the know, sort of have our finger on the fashion pulse, but can't ever do it without always buying more clothes?
That's a great problem that a lot of people have. But if you follow a lot of the fashion stylists, they don't recommend that people dress based on the latest trends. They recommend that people buy their clothes and that they dress based on their personal preferences, their body shape, and their color palette. Any fashion stylist is going to say, don't worry about what the trends are. Worry about the colors that look good on you, that bring out your beauty. Also, like my body shape, I could not wear skinny jeans. I look awful in them. So all during the skinny jean trend, I wore my bootleg. Like that's just what I wore. And nobody said, oh my goodness, look at you have old style jeans on. Nobody said anything to me. This is my style. This is what I like. Now, I really am loving it that the wide leg is out again, but it doesn't really affect my choices because I dress for what looks good on me and what I feel good in and what follows my personal style. I don't worry very much about the trends. So I would recommend that you embrace your personal style because that's what you're going to be the most comfortable in. That's what you're going to be the most confident in. And that doesn't change with the seasons. You are you and you're not going to change.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'll just say the trend cycle was not created by the powers that be for our benefit, for consumers' benefit. The trend cycle, it's perpetual, and it was designed to continue to make consumers, so you and me, buy more to benefit those who are creating the newest and latest fashions, right? Like the trend cycle does not benefit us. And so the sooner we can willingly hop off the trend bandwagon, the better off our wallets will be, the better off the smaller and more streamlined our closets will be. Yeah. And as somebody who's not trendy at all, I will say that there's freedom in just wearing what you want, wearing what looks good on you, not wearing what everybody else is wearing just because everybody else is wearing it. Serene, I want to talk to you about your tips for, you call it saving the world with our closet. I want to know your tips. You can just take it away because they're so good.
Oh, thank you. Yes. And I'm going to say that these tips actually came from, in 2023, the team at Tadmore, we all decided that we weren't going to buy anything new for the year of 2023. Some of the team members said that they would thrift. I decided I was going to buy nothing, zero, for an entire year. So it really forced me to rethink like your whole closet and trends and what to do. And I learned to love shopping my closet. And that is my first tip in how to save the world from your closet. Because when you go into your closet with a new light, like you're thinking, okay, I have this event, and you act like you're just in a store and these are clothes that you've never worn before, you come up with so many new ways to pair your clothes. It's fascinating and it's so much fun. And they're already things that you love anyways. You're just are thinking about, you know, maybe I take this skirt and wear it with this blazer. And then maybe I take the blazer and wear it with those pants. I've never done that before. What accessories can I match? What scarf can I use? Do I do boots or do I do heels? And all of a sudden you find that you have the potential of thousands of outfits just sitting in your closet that you never thought of before. And it's just so much fun. So yeah, that's my number one tip. Just shop your closet. Go in there like you've never worn anything before and just let new ideas and your creative juices flow and you'll come up with the funnest ideas. And then the second one is alter and mend your clothes. Like if you invested the money to buy that garment, then you really need to get it altered to fit you properly. And instead of going out and shopping because you don't have a cardigan to wear, maybe pull the cardigan that's been laying at the bottom of your closet and needs a button and fix it. It's going to be cheaper. And you already invested the time to find it and the money to buy it. It's worth saving it instead of throwing it away. So definitely always alter and mend the clothes that you have in your closet first. That's going to be a lot cheaper and save you a lot of time than going and trying to find something new. And focus on quality. It's a marriage, not a fling. If you buy good quality clothes from the get-go, they are going to last for a longer time. And I've seen a couple different brands have done a video like this, the quality brands, where they show like if you buy something from them that you can wear hundreds of times, how like it turns out to be like 10 cents a wear compared to a fast fashion item that somebody bought, you know, for $50 and then wore five times and that item per wear cost $10. That's a lot of money compared to something that's good quality. And I can tell you personally, I have clothes in my closet that I've had for years and years and years, and I've worn more than hundreds of times. One of them, the example, is the skirt that I have on in the TED Talk. That one I've had for almost 23 years now. So think it's probably 1 cent per wear at this point. Focus on the quality, get quality, even if it's a little bit more expensive at the beginning. Just the fact that you can wear it for years, it's really going to be a lot cheaper in the long run. And then thrift as often as possible. The clothes that are made now are not as good a quality as the clothes that were made 2, 3, 5 years ago. So when you go thrifting, you're usually buying better quality clothes. They're a lot cheaper and you're not contributing to more waste. So those are the 4 steps. Shop your closet, alter and mend your clothes, focus on quality, and thrift as often as possible.
Those are good tips, Serene, and I thank you for them. I'll just piggyback off the thrifting suggestion. If the clothing is still in good enough shape to be resold, like that's a telling quality factor. If it can be resold in a thrift store, like that tells you that it still has life left as opposed to a fast fashion item. And I'll just say here, you know, my 10-year-old is becoming more interested in clothing and fashion and doing what her friends are doing. And she recently was gifted a sweater. It was like it's not even a sweater. It's a sweatshirty sweater from a fast fashion brand. And she loved this thing. It was cropped. It was loose fitting. It had a hood and pockets. Like, she was all for it. I'm not kidding you. She wore it to school one day. It didn't even go in the wash at all. And it was already pilling and falling apart. And so I say all that to say, if you see something in a thrift store and it still looked good and it's still holding up, that's a mark of quality there, as opposed to the thing my daughter has that fell apart before even washing. So my next question here is a little cynical of me, Serene, and you take it where you want to go. But I feel as though the power in your tips comes only if we collectively are doing it. So individual actions adding up to making a change in the direction of sustainability. However, the problem is, in general, the collective is not participating. The collective is not doing their part. Perhaps the collective doesn't even care, right? Like, the collective is not thinking about washing their jeans every 10 wears. The collective is not thinking about wearing their clothes at least 30 times. The collective is thinking about buying cheap, wearing a handful of times, discarding and buying new. So if the collective's not on board, do our individual actions even matter at the end of the day? This is my nihilism coming through. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
So I agree with you that the collective isn't doing much right now, but I honestly believe that the majority of people will do the right thing and want to contribute to the solution. I think they just don't know. And it's things like this, going out and spreading the knowledge, giving TED Talks, getting out there and talking to more people and spreading that knowledge of this is the impact of your choices. And when every one of us does a little bit, it will make a huge impact. Because like we talked about earlier, the fast fashion industry is a public health crisis that nobody is talking about, but all of us wear clothes. So it's really easy for us to make a positive impact. But there's another really important component that we're overlooking, and that is there's a big problem when we profess perfection. When people feel like they have to do it perfectly, then they're less likely to do it because they can't. They can't. It's impossible to be perfect. Like we talked about at the beginning, if we buy a synthetic, it's bad. And if we buy natural, it's bad. So what do we buy? No matter what we do, there is some type of a negative outcome. But instead of making people and ourselves feel like we have to do things perfectly, if we just focused on progress, doing something, even if it's a little, and celebrating that triumph, that is where I think people will be more likely to make those changes, when they know that they can and what it is that they need to do, and when they know that they don't need to do it perfectly. I'm sure you've heard of James Clear's book, Atomic Habits. It talks about improving 1% every day. 1% every day is really small, but at the end of the year, you're going to be like 365% better, because every day you've gotten 1% better. We need to adopt that when it comes to sustainability, because we're not going to be perfect. Like, I use my water bottle. I have a stainless steel water bottle that I use all the time, but then every once in a while, I forget to bring it. Does that mean that if my kids or I are thirsty, I'm not going to buy a plastic water bottle from the vending machine? No, because that's not practical. So yeah, every once in a while, I'm going to slip up, but the majority of the time, I'm using my reusable water bottle. That's what we need to do when we think about clothes. I'll tell you one of my pitfalls. I love burgundy. It is one of my favorite colors. And this fall, burgundy is it's the color I bought a burgundy sweater. Okay, I'm not perfect. I bought a burgundy sweater. But the majority of the time, I try to do better. And that's where I think we need to focus on, is letting people know that even a small effort is better than nothing. And if you do 20% better, it's better than zero. And then maybe you slowly get to 50% better. And then maybe you slowly get to 70% better. And you're never going to get to 100. It's not there. But just the fact that I'm improving and that I'm trying, I think is important.
What I think you're speaking to there is the planting of seeds. You living your life, people observing, you're planting seeds. Maybe they'll sprout, maybe they won't, but you're planting seeds in other people's gardens, which I love. And so before we say goodbye, Serene, in your TEDx talk, you gave some crazy numbers with regard to the environmental effects associated with each of us individually buying fewer pairs of jeans, collectively adding up. Can you share those numbers with us?
One of the biggest, for me, that it was like mind-boggling when we did the math and we found out that if every person in the United States, I'm not talking about worldwide, just in the US, every person bought one less pair of jeans every year, that would be the equivalent of keeping 2,400,000 cars off of the street for an entire year. That to me is mind-boggling. The production of one pair of jeans releases 70 pounds of CO2 into the air. It takes 1,800 gallons of water to make one pair of jeans. That's enough water for a person to drink for 4 years. To me, that's a lot.
I thank you for those numbers. Yeah, it feels like in my daily life, as I go along my own trajectory, like, who cares what I do? But when you put numbers and you have the collective behind the numbers to amplify the numbers, it really seems clear, like, our individual choices, our actions, our purchases do matter. They do make an impact. So thank you for giving those, because wow, big numbers.
Maybe another one that I should have mentioned is that the average American throws away 80 pounds of reusable textiles every year. So think about that. It's 80 pounds that I'm putting into the landfill every year. I think keeping 80 pounds out of the landfill is significant. So think about if everybody did their own part. Even if I put 40 in and you put 40 in and everybody else put 40 in, that's 50% less junk in the landfills.
Thank you. Yeah, no, powerful stuff. Okay, so I'm going to continue wearing my skinny jeans circa 2008. Tell us, Serene, where can we find you, your goodness? Where can we find Tadmore Tailoring? Tell us all of it.
Yes, I would definitely recommend that anybody that watched the TED Talk, you can get on YouTube and you just put how to save the world with a pair of jeans and you can get all the stats and the numbers. Please share it, because that's the whole purpose of it, is to help share the knowledge so people can make better informed decisions. People also can get on Tadmore Tailoring's website, so tmtailor.com, and there's a whole tab about sustainability. There's research, there's opportunities there that people can read about. You can also follow me, Serene Al-Sharif, on Instagram, and you can follow Tadmore Tailoring on Instagram or any of the social media outlets, because we're constantly posting content about sustainability or alterations or how to prolong the longevity, the life of your clothes and stuff like that.
And I'll link to all of it in the show notes, especially the TEDx talk. It was so good. Oh my gosh. But I want to thank you so much, Serene. Thank you for your knowledge, your wisdom, your enthusiasm. You've given it back to me. So thank you so much. Listeners, that's a wrap. My friends, the show notes are at mamaminimalist.com/508. As promised, we have some eco tips today. They're fashion focused and they come from Kim. Kim said she was on vacation. She was at a really nice boutique store. She saw this scarf. She really wanted it. Oh, but she's a minimalist. So what does she do? You know, she likes the scarf, but she's a minimalist. She examined the scarf and the way it was presented in this gorgeous little boutique store, and she realized that what she liked about the scarf was the way that it was tied. It was tied in a unique and appealing way. So instead of buying the scarf, really smart Kim, she asked the salesperson how to tie the scarf. And now she has added this cool new unique tying technique to the scarves that she already owns. I love it. So she's inserting a little bit of newness into what she's already got. Kim also says that she has an 11-year-old daughter who wanted to go shopping for oversized clothing, because if you've looked at any tweens lately, even some teens, you know that baggy and oversized is definitely in. She already has enough clothing, though, so Kim suggested they look through her closet and see if her daughter liked anything. So that's what they did. They found a few fashion items that Kim was willing to pass on to her 11-year-old. And guess what? That satisfied her tween's newness need. So again, we're taking what we already have and we are giving it new life. And then finally, Kim says that she went to the hairdresser. She wanted to maybe get bangs. She needed a new look. But instead of doing the bangs, because holy moly, that could go one way or it could go the other way, right? I know from experience, from bangs experience. Instead, Kim decided to experiment with a middle part instead of a side part, instead of going all the way with the bangs. And she says, too, this has satisfied her desire for something new without purchasing something new or doing something drastic. So thank you so much, Kim. What great suggestions. Now, before we say goodbye, I just want to say we had book club for subscribers last Monday. And we had, I'm going to speak for all of us. I'm going to say we had a great time. It's really becoming a lovely group. And you too can join us by becoming a subscriber and reading a book and then showing up on Zoom. It's really that simple. You don't even have to read the book. Like, I'll be honest, It's a low stakes, easy breezy book club where we just chit chat. We are reading The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter. It is an amazing read. I've read it already. I'm going to reread it for book club. Subscribers, stay tuned for more information about that meeting coming up at the beginning of February. So we're going to get through the holidays and we're going to do it. Subscribers, I'll see you Thursday for that subscriber-only episode. And if you're not a subscriber, come on over to the good side. Join us and thank you for supporting the show. I'll see you then. Reach out if you need me and take care.